want it to go in the house, though?
No, it doesn't need to go in the house.
I think this takes it out of the house.
Right. If it does. So it's... Hello.
This is the SSAC in the Santa Monica room.
Hello.
They don't have it attached to the room. I'll look it up.
There. So this is, it's 8 o'clock. We have to start the open session for ESSAC in 2 minutes. I didn't say you should leave, but no. We're just changing the topic of the meeting.
We were arguing if the Swedes are more punctual than the Swiss, and I think you win the prize today. Have a great meeting, guys. Sorry we took your room in the morning. We'll leave you in peace.
So welcome, everyone. This is the meeting of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee at ICANN 51 in Los Angeles. Next slide, please. So we're going to concentrate on the IANA function stewardship transition, which are two of the documents that we have released lately, but of course also talk about what other things we are working on. Next slide, please. So an overview of ESSAC. Next slide. We were initiated in 2001. It began operation in 2002. America?
No more seats. No more seats.
Bring a chair.
Bring a chair.
You have to bring a chair with you. Okay, sit there. You can sit.
Oh, when you got.
Oh, and Rod. Okay, I missed you. Okay. So we should actually do things the other way around. People in ESSAC, they should sit here on the table in the reverse order in what they're coming to the room. I think that's the way of doing things. Because this meeting actually starts at 8 a.m., okay? So, our charter is to advise the ICANN community and board and on various matters related to security and integrity of the Internet's naming and address allocation systems. We have... myself as a chair and Jim Galvin as vice chair. We were just re-elected for another 3-year term beginning in 2015. We also have a liaison to the board that is separate from the two of us, which is Ram Mohan, and his term ends last of December 2015. Members of ESSAC at the moment are 40, and they're appointed by ICANN board for 3-year terms. We are reviewing the membership of ESSAC members approximately 1/3 every year. We're just at the end of the end of the review of 2014. Next slide, please. So, is there any questions on ESSAC and how we operate? If it is the case, I'd say most people in the room I know actually do know what ESSAC knows. But if there is someone, and my apologies, try to find one of us afterwards, and we can explain in more detail. Next slide, please. So the achievements 2014 is that since ICANN 50, we published a report on the IANA functions contract that was released last weekend. We also released SAC 67, an overview and history of the IANA functions in August 2014. Both of these documents are at the moment only released in English, but we request a translation. And as soon as that translation is ready, we will release them in all six UN languages. Between London and Singapore, we released SAC 66, which is the ESSAC comment on the JAS Phase 1 report on mitigating the risk of DNS namespace collisions. And between Singapore and Buenos Aires, we released an advisor on DDoS attack leveraging DNS infrastructure, and also an advisor on DNS search list processing, which of course is related to the various namespace collision issues. Next slide, please. Regarding IANA functions stewardship transition, we in ESSAC have been working on three documents, and where two of them are now released. Next slide, please. So the background to all of this is, of course, like many people know, that on the 14th of March 2014, the NTA announced the intention to transition out of the current role with respect to the IANA functions. This is something that was mentioned already in the first contract that NTA wrote with ICANN. So to some degree, it was not a surprise that it would happen, but now it actually did. So NTA called ICANN to convene global stakeholders to develop a proposal to transition the current role played by NTIA in the coordination of the Internet's domain name systems. Next slide, please. So both the announcement and also the contract, and if you look at what the group at ICANN that provide the IANA functions are doing, we see that we saw in ESSAC that the name of IANA is actually used for many different things. And both functions and for the group and for what is in the contract. So what we decided to do in ESSAC is to try to describe what various different kind of definitions of IANA there is. Next slide, please. So the IANA functions, according to the contract between ICANN and NTA, on very high level consists of the root zone management, internet numbers registry management, protocol parameter registry management, including management of the ARPA TLD, and management of the INT top-level domain. And note that this is a high-level description of what IANA group is doing based on the contract. The group is doing other things as well. Next slide, please. So the first document that we made available is SAC 67. It was published on 15th of August 2014, and the report is trying to establish a baseline of understanding for those that are interested in knowing what IANA is doing. And you hear yourself that I'm using, during the years I've been using the word IANA for the functions that are operated by this group at ICANN that, among other things, are dealing with what is listed in the contract. So I'm sort of slopping myself just because I've been using the term IANA that way for so many years. So we're also trying to describe the activities that are included in the IANA functions contract and the functions performed under the MOU with the IETF. We are trying to focus in this report on the IANA functions contract and describe the various functions described in that one, but we're also trying to describe all the activities related to IANA functions as they are currently performed, because in some cases the contract is describing sort of an old version of what was supposed to happen, and exactly what IANA is doing is something that has evolved over time. And we are trying to describe those activities, including those that lie outside of the IANA functions contract. Next slide, please. The second document that we released was released last weekend. And In that report, we are providing an overview of the key elements of the ANA functions contract. So in the first one, we were looking at the tasks that were performed by the group at ICANN, going under the name IANA. And in this 668, we are going through the contract to see what the contract describes. This document is, as I said, is providing, is giving an overview over the various things that the contract covers. But it's also the case that we have been looking at specifically, according to the contract, what role NTA has in the actual operation. And what we have seen is that NTA, are the pictures in this one? Go to the next slide. Okay, so this is good. So for each one of the functions, we have been looking at who the various parties are and then look at what the NTA role is. And what we have discovered is that the only place where NTA do have some kind of active role has to do with is when it is part of the authorization chain of DNS root zone management. Next slide, please. So if we look at the root zone management, we have the three involved parties, the ANA functions operator, the root zone maintainer, and the administrator, which is the terminology that is used in the contract, where the ANA functions operator is the group at ICANN, and administrator is NTIA, and then you have the root zone maintainer, which currently is VeriSign. And these three parties have a triangular relationship where the administrator, NTIA, is part of the authorization chain for the changes. Next slide, please. The third document that we are working on or looking at is something that we do believe will be published in the fourth quarter if it is the case that we find that we have something to publish. And the reason why we are questioning that, and we also sort of, we don't really know until we publish that we are going to publish something, is specifically because we actually were thinking about writing the principles document first and then a description of IANA and then the contract. So it's a little bit like the Star Wars that we're doing things in reverse order here, like first the second document and the third and then the first. So we have to go back, so we don't really know at the moment actually if there is anything more we have to say. On the other hand, the first two documents do not include any recommendations from ESSAC at all. No findings or recommendations. The two documents are in an objective way trying to describe the contract and the current functions. So what ESSAC is looking at the moment is whether ESSAC do have anything to say that could be something like recommendations or findings from the current situation and also not only the current situation, but also the current situation during and after the transition of the ANA function stewardship. Next slide, please. Is there any questions on that? Okay. So if we look at what we currently are doing and what we want to do in the future, or think we are going to do. Next slide, please. The work that we do in ESSAC is done in something called work parties. And we have a couple of groups like this that have charters and work items and that are trying to move forward to try to look at these issues. That we are looking at various issues doesn't mean that we will write a report, but only that we are looking into the topic area. So we are looking at the ANA function stewardship transition, as you just heard, that is checking whether we have something more to say than these first two documents. We also have a work party related to public suffix lists that one could say is slightly related to the various acceptance programs and processes going on here in ICANN. But we have been looking at the public suffix list from a slightly different angle. So we let's see what's happening with that. We also had a workshop at the Internet Governance Forum 2014 in Istanbul a month ago or two. And at that workshop, we were looking into the role and the implications of private sector management of various different kind of systems that can be used for blocking or authorization of, for example, things like sending email blacklists and those kind of things. So we had a discussion at the workshop around this topic. We had a paper that was sort of a start of the discussion that was input to the meeting itself. We got extremely good feedback during the workshop itself and around the workshop and also based on the paper. So we are looking at two different things that we possibly could do. First of all, of course, update the document that we are doing, but it also might be the case, of course, that we might do some recommendations. We'll see. We have an ongoing ward party that is looking at the membership. We call it the membership committee. And it's Jim Galvin to my left, vice chair of ESSAC, that is the chair of the membership committee. They are, as I said, just ending their review of 2014 of approximately one-third of the ESSAC members. And when that review is done, looking a little bit at Jim, we are going to appoint a new membership committee that consists of members from ESSAC, and then Ramo and the liaison to the board, myself as the chair, and Jim as vice chair, as three non-voting members. So this is something that is really important for me as the chair, that we who do have official positions since ESSAC, we are not part of the actual decision-making process or review of the members. We are looking over the process and helping steering it as good as we can. And then we have also, as always, for an ICANN meeting, spent quite a lot of work on the DNSSEC sessions, both the DNSSEC for newcomers on the Monday and also a DNSSEC Wednesday that we are organizing. And I would like to see that Dan York is in the room. I would like to thank you very much for the help that you're doing. And I also think that it has actually been brought up at a couple of meetings here at the ICANN that the cooperation between Dan York and Julie, our support staff, which means the cooperation between ICANN and ISOC in this case, is actually a good example of one activity and a way of working that we should try to do much, much more in specifically the technical community to be able to find new ways of actually moving forward and evolving deployment of various technologies where even though organizations like ICANN and ISOC are large, it's still the case that you have stumbling blocks, you don't know how to move forward, so why not work more together? So thank you very much, Dan. Next, please. Next slide. So if we look at the milestones that we started to talk about at the last ICANN meeting, I think, or maybe two meetings ago even, we had as a goal to publish the document, the report on IANA functions contract, third quarter 2014, which we did because we published it last weekend. In the fourth quarter, we hope that the work on the transitional stewardship on IANA functions should be ready. It's quite important that it is ready because the various operational groups are supposed to report to the IANA coordination group early 2015. We hope that we are ready with the advisor and public suffix lists, and we hope that we are ready with the work that are related on the internet, everything around the Internet Governance Forum. Next slide, please. Okay, go back one slide, by the way. Sorry. So regarding the public suffix list and the IGF workshop, let me just point out, as we happen to have those ESSAC members here, for the public suffix list, that Rod Rasmussen. Rod, can you just raise your hand? Rod is the one that he's the key person there. And for the IGF workshop, it's Robert. So if you have more questions, talk with anyone in the room, but specifically these two. Thank you. Next slide. So if we look at new work parties, this is what we... Next slide, please. So what we have been doing the last couple of weeks is to look at the long list of various different kind of issues that we think is important that maybe we should actually do something about. So we have a long list of topic areas that we are sort of keeping our eyes on, but then we sort of have to prioritize based on input from other SO and ACs, and at the end of the day, we need to decide what we're actually going to work on. So there are two work parties that we are very close of forming. So one could say that we actually have formed them, even though we formally have not. The first one has to do with new GTLDs. We see at this ICANN meeting quite a lot of discussion about the next round. And I must say that we in ESSAC hear some positive feedback that there are quite large portions of the ICANN community which talk about actually looking seriously about what happened with the first round? Like, was the applicant guidebook good? What did we do? What kind of corrections did we do during the round that we're currently in, etc. So, also we in ESSAC has given recommendations during the round that we're in, and which has resulted in some actions in some cases, and then the actions in some cases have also resulted in some kind of effect. And what we are trying to look at is to see whether there are any of these actions, and can we draw any conclusions? Is it something we recommend based on what we have done, or maybe something new that actually should be said that we can recommend to be done before we are starting the next round? The second thing that we are looking into has to do with registrant protection and credential management. This is an area where we have been already written a couple of advisories, but what we do see is that there is an enormous increase of attacks and hijacks on domain names which are based on simply not good enough credential management. The frustration that we have, and many with us, is of course that much of this is just because people have sort of not followed the various best current practices and recommendations that are out there. So the question is then, what can be done? Is it the case? How can we get people to start to use a seatbelt or whatever? There is a quite big step from talking about and agreeing on what is bad, what is good, what is the best kind of practices, and actually get people to do something. So this is an area where we are trying to talk with as many people as possible and getting outreach. And let me, like, Marika, that's Marika. She is the one that is, like, sending me email every second week, and it's like, we must do something about this, which I completely agree with. So if you have any ideas on how to try to make the world better, even though, of course, we already know what should be done, but the question is then, how do we get it done? Please talk to America or anyone else, of course. We need some good ideas there. Next slide, please. So at various meetings like this one and in the corridors, we do get various questions. And common questions are, for example, how do ESSAC prioritize new work? And the answer is that we are prioritizing ourselves. We are choosing ourselves what issues we're going to work on and in what order. That said, we are doing the prioritization based on input from the community, because we develop our reports and we check how valuable the reports have been for the community. We are measuring how many downloads there are, how many links there are, how many board resolutions have the report resulted in, how much have the other SO and ACs referred to our report. So because of this, we have an interest in knowing that our reports, when they are done, actually are interesting for people. So because of that, of course, we should listen to people before we prioritize. One group that we specifically have to listen to, of course, is the ICANN board that, according to the charter, has to respond to questions from. So when it is the case that we get questions from the board or from other SO and ACs, we tend to prioritize those items much higher than items that we sort of invent on our own. But the prioritization is sort of similar anyways. We also get questions how we communicate our work, and we do it at meetings like this and other briefings. We are meeting various SO and ACs on their request at ICANN meetings. We also publish our reports, we also, this week, we have been talking about starting to do more sort of outreach and communication ourselves. And this week we started, together with the communication team and ICANN, do some video recordings and otherwise that you will see popping up. The first ones will, of course, only be about ESSAC and what we are and basically what you heard during this presentation, but the idea is that we will also start to also explain and have ESSAC members explain what is actually behind various reports and why are they important. And if I remember correctly, there will be, regarding SAC 67, SAC 68, there will be some recordings made tomorrow. So we are moving forward, yes. Next slide, please. So when trying to have better communication with the community, it is, of course, very important for us to get some feedback. Next slide, please. And one thing that we are interested in knowing over time is, of course, whether our publications are understandable and accessible. Are they too long, too short, just right? What is the level of detail? We are very often, of course, writing the document itself targeted to whoever the document targets, but let's say that it's a very technical document then of course the document itself cannot be easily digestible for everyone. But on the other hand, we are trying to then write an executive summary, which is much easier to digest, so that everyone can at least read the executive summary and know whether the document is interesting for their community or whatever, and then the document can be passed over to someone that can digest the rest of the document. Another thing, of course, is to know whether the document is reaching the audience, whether we have done the right conclusions and come with the right suggestions. But we would like to get more feedback on that. We also like to get more feedback on not only what we should look at, but also on how we should do our work. We have quite good discussion with the at-large advisory committee on how we are going to participate a little bit more, which of course is a little bit different given the way we are working, which leads us to the next question that we also would like to ask: what can we do to do things differently? We have all of these meetings with our various SO and ACs, and then we have this open meeting as well, so there's of course quite a lot of overlap, and I do see some people in the room that probably heard these words like a couple of times before. So the question is whether we can have a dialogue with other groups in a more effective way. We also always would like to get some feedback on topics that are missing from the list of work parties that I just mentioned, both the existing one and also upcoming one. Next slide, please. So with that, I would like to open the floor for discussions on any of these topics and others, please. Please.
Good morning. Thanks for the report. This is Brendan Kurbis with the Internet Governance Project, Syracuse University, NCUC member as well. So I had a question about the principles, the work that the ESSEC will be doing shortly. Will these be dealing exclusively with the names area?
No, we are looking at anything that is related to the ANA functions contract.
Okay, and a follow-up. You talked a little bit about interaction with the community, and generally it was interaction after a publication exists. I'm curious, will the ESSEC be taking on board any external work that has explored principles around the transition? And if so, what's the best way to feed that into your process?
Let me first talk in general terms on how we are doing our work in the work party. So when a work party is doing work, it's up to the ESSEC members that is part of that work party to come up with a document using whatever kind of methods they want. Quite often that includes an outreach. It also, for example, the public suffix list, we do have members of the work party that are not members of ESSEC. So during the creation of a document, yes, the document is created by ESSEC members, but at the same time, it's up to them to do whatever they feel is needed to be able to actually sort of come up with a good document. Lately, it has been quite common, for example, that the work parties have chosen to have some, at least having the document read and consulted with other external parties that before it's published, just to not create any surprises, if nothing else. But as I said, in the public suffix list, there have been external members all the time, all the way through. Regarding the last document on the IANA transition, I think the best way is just to talk to us ESSEC members and try to feed information and feed some ideas to us. So we are actually very laid back, and it's and we are happy to receive input if you have it. So just send it to us or through Julie, the secretariat that we have, or any one of us in the corridor.
Thank you,
Dan.
Thanks, Patrick. Could I suggest too, if you want to back up a slide so we could see the questions you're seeking to ask for us? This is Dan York from Internet Society. I guess I would just say, in general, I found the ESSEC documents personally quite useful. I think you're doing a great job in the interactions you do to reach out to the groups. I don't know how you could do it differently, because I think you do need to go out to those other groups. Yes, you have this public forum, but let's look around, and most of it is the people who are here who are the security people who like to go to these things and talk about this. And we do that. But I think you do have to bring security to the other places so that then they hear about it in those kind of spaces and otherwise. So I think you're doing the right things. I think you're doing the right pieces to go out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, so yes, we agree with you that we need to find a different way, because the people that are here in this room, except for like a few exceptions, I'm really happy that you are here that I don't recognize, but otherwise, as you say, there are friendly faces. So what we are trying now, that's why we're working with our ICANN communication team and trying to, first of all, with them, create material that they are used to work with, for example, videos, and then we have asked them to use their machinery to do outreach or whatever they are doing. I don't know. I mean, security and stability, not in outreach. But what we do have is that we do have a way of measuring the results by doing all different kind of metrics that we have been measuring for a while. So what we will do is that we'll use exactly the same kind of metrics and see whether it actually gives some effect, and then go back and replan and see what has happened.
So I guess, I think, yes, ESSAC needs to do all of that to raise its profile and have people better understand what it does. I guess I would say I still think you need to be going out to the different groups. I guess a question I would have is, do you have any chance of not being 8 a.m. on the last day of the session?
Well, given that Wednesday evening is one of the days that I myself personally managed to go out and have really good dinners, I completely agree with you.
Well, so here's a funny story, which you may or may not care about, but I'll tell you this quickly. I had a friend of mine who used to say to me from Australia, and he said, Dan, he said, the problem that you have is, he said, you're the last car on the sushi train. And he said, you and all your security guys, he said, you're that car at the sushi restaurant where the train goes around and around and nobody wants to take the sushi off the car.
Well, okay, there are several parts here, so I let Julie respond to it. But as all of us know, just to start with, you know that there have been this work going on in ICANN on how to do an overall scheduling for the ICANN meetings that are like to make that better. And all of us, and so many people, are shaking their heads like it's a sushi train wreck, the whole scheduling here. I mean, okay. In ESSAC, we have, and specifically myself, I have participated really, really hard in that group. And we think the output from that group was really, really good and useful to do a sort of a top-down design so we can have these meetings that are important, that are from the SONACs at time slots that actually the community knew about. So I'm hoping personally that we could one day and I can maybe start to use the outcome of that group, but it has not really happened yet. That said, let me hand over to Julie and she can explain how it really works at the moment.
Thank you, Patrick. This is Julie Headland. Just very briefly, this is essentially the only non-conflicted time that I could find for this meeting. There are no times available today because there's the ICG, there's accountability, there's the public forum. You can't schedule against that. On Monday, you have the welcome ceremony. You have the high-interest topics. You have other things you can't schedule against. On Tuesday, ESSEC has private meetings all day, and as Dan knows, on Wednesday, we have the DNSSEC workshop that takes up 6 hours. So that doesn't leave us too many options. I agree with Patrick that once we switch to whatever this new system is, maybe it will be easier. I don't know. Thank you.
So I don't minimize, Patrick, I was just more making that as a comment. I guess the final thing I'll just mention is, I think for the topics, I'm going to channel your colleague for with the funny hat over there and just say that I would say that one of the things ESSAC ought to be having on the longer range radar is all the DNS privacy work that the IETF is currently undertaking and what impacts they may have on ICANN operations, because I think, as we heard some a bit yesterday, that could have some.
Thank you very much. Regarding work that other groups are doing, it's also the case, of course, that if another group is working on it, why should we work on it? We need to find our role because as well. But yes, that's a good topic that we should keep our eyes on. We also got questions about RPKI, and which have confirmed that is one of the lists that we are keeping our eyes on the radar, etc. Ram, you wanted to add something.
I just wanted to add that going back from 2001, when the committee was formed, we've tried to look at different times for the committee meetings, and over time, this has been actually a good time to get uninterrupted ability to present. Having said that, I think, Patrick, you do go to various constituencies and you present what ESSAC is doing. So I thought that might be valuable to share, that the interaction from the community into ESSAC is not only at this 8 a.m. early morning session.
That is correct, and I'm looking at you a little bit. I think this time we met with the GNSO Council, we met with ALAC, and we met with the business constituency.
The commercial stakeholder group.
Commercial stakeholders group. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And we did have invites out to the registrars and the registries, but we just couldn't get a time on their schedule. Otherwise, we would have.
Wendy?
Thanks, Wendy Seltzer, here with W3C, and thinking about other areas of work with other organizations, particularly in the new work you're proposing. I hear things in the public suffix list work that interacts with a lot of our web security and same origin policy for web application security could be interesting. And in regard to the registrant protection and credential management, we're just starting up work on secure authentication for the web. And so to the extent that some of these credentials are managed through web browsers and we can be helpful in discussing that work, I'd be very interested to follow up.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's really good input. That's the kind of input that we really would like to have. Thank you. Please.
Jaak Lipma from Estonia, and I would like to ask a question regarding your earlier mentioning on the NTIA contract. And did I read you correct that you said that the function NTIA has today is not substantial? It's just part of the trust chain that actually manages the root zone. But the concern is obviously that when this contract goes away or goes to a separate organization, or what the view is or outcome, does it contribute to segmentation of internet or various controls that governments are already imposing on internet as filtering and content filtering and DNS filtering? Thank you.
Lyman, did you want to say anything there?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and that is precisely what we're hoping to do with the third document.
Forward one slide. Forward.
One more.
There. Thank you.
There we go. That's precisely what we want to do in the third document, is to identify what are the things that contribute to the IANA functions being successfully performed today that are a result of what NTIA does or what the contract does. And what would happen or what might happen if you take both of those away or replace them with something different? And we're going to look at the security and stability implications of doing that. So you're absolutely right. It's not as it on the one hand, it's simple, because if you look at what happens on a day-to-day basis, the only thing that NTIA does as an active activity, if you will, is that it gives the green light to a change to the root zone. And that's a very small part. If you look at all the machinery that has to operate, that's a very small part. But I think we all know and recognize we wouldn't be having the kinds of discussions we've been having about this transition if that were literally the only issue. Because you could replace that with a robot. You could replace that with almost anything. But clearly there's a lot of things standing behind that. We're going to look very carefully at what the security and stability implications are of changing that apparatus.
If I may, just a comment on this. This is very important because, after all, root zone is the center of it all, and the mechanism and validation process of how changes are made in that zone is very, very important. And I would go as far as to say that NTIA is perhaps the wrong target or wrong subject we're talking about. It's actually the U.S. Department of Commerce. And I know, having been in this internet business since 92, I know how difficult some people feel that, okay, if it's U.S. Department of Commerce, you better not even try anything, because you're never going to get near to them. But if that goes away, or this kind of weakness is felt, that's a big concern. Thank you.
Absolutely, and that's very much one of the things that's on our radar screen, and you'll see that in the third document, among many others, but that's a very important one.
Julie.
Thank you, Patrick. This is Julie Headland. I have two questions from the chat room. These are both from Tariq. The first question is, does the ESSEC plan to provide recommendations on improving the universal acceptance of domain names? This is an important topic, and it does not look like ICANN's plan is advised by technical reality. And if you want to address that one, then I could read the next one.
At the moment, we do not have any work party that are looking into acceptance. That said, we have issued a number of reports related to international domain names and variants, which, for example, are related to the Trademark Clearinghouse and other issues, and also the WHOIS, the internationalization and translation of data. It's also the case that the public suffix list is touching upon this issue, but in all of these cases, acceptance is a secondary issue that we are keeping in mind when writing these advisories, but it's not a main topic. Thank you.
The second question, and this is Julie Headland again. Tariq asks, in my country, Bangladesh, the ESSEC documents sometimes get read in the government ministry. It would be important to translate important reports such as the Registrant Protection or the IANA principles. Second, please blog and do videos of every ESSEC report to make them more understandable. And I did actually indicate in the chat room that the IANA documents, SAC 67 and SAC 68, are being translated into the 6 UN languages. And I should also note that I think it was SAC 40 and 44 have both, I think, been translated as well.
And I also think SAC 50 on blocking is also using DNS for blocking. It was also translated. But it's absolutely correct that it's very good feedback. And it's easy to get that kind of feedback, because those are the kind of things that we at the moment are actually trying to improve, as I said earlier, including videos and blogging. So we are trying now to do this. And regarding translation, of course, everything is a budget issue. But if it is the case that you have documents that you feel that you think should be translated to one or more languages except English, please let us know, because we don't have an infinite amount of money. But here, for example, was a good example of request for one specific document, whether it should be translated. We have to look into that and see whether that is something that we could do. Thank you. Anything else? Any ESSEC member that would like to bring something up? What have I not said? I'm sorry. We only have 17 minutes, so we cannot go through that. Russ.
Since we still do have some time, I would like to go back a little bit to the gentleman from Estonia and point out that what is actually available, there's a lot of public information that is available, but it is spread across a large volume of information relative to both what the IANA functions do now, what the contracts have been over the years, because there have been multiple contracts. And so there certainly is a lot of information that's present. And the two documents we've published so far have really been intended to help people in the community understand with a clearer point of view what the IANA functions are, what they aren't, and what NTIA engagement is and is not. But that's only from the information that's out there and publicly available. There are a number of people that believe there are a number of other things that the NTIA does that are not readily visible on the surface. And so we encourage the community to think about those things also. But the first two documents were sort of the reference points. And if you have ideas and thoughts with respect to security stability implications, that is the set of things that we'll be dealing with in document three. So we'd love to hear what people have to say about what should be done, what shouldn't be done, and we'll include that in our discussions and deliberations in the creation of the third document.
May I comment?
Please.
Yes, well, one of the concerns or the reason why I was asking this question is very simply that this information, and there is abundance of it, I know most of it because I've been managing a .ee for 20 years. So I know what predates ICANN and what's been happening during ICANN existence. This is highly technical information, and very few people understand, especially in the governments, understand what the root zone means and root zone management means and what internet stability means. Now, given that misunderstanding, and if governments, for example, are not happy with how internet works and influences their particular countries, and we know how much more governments depend on internet nowadays, then they start to regulate. And then they don't bother to read all the technical documents and don't understand that this or that particular kind of regulation actually leads to segmentation of internet, which nobody wants. So that's my concern, that this has to come across really, really clearly what's going to happen with the root zone. Thank you.
Thank you for the encouragement. And I heard many ESSEC members saying that when they decide to actually spend time in writing this, I heard sort of words very similar to yours, but different, so slightly different. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Well, I was going to say thank you very much for that input, and it's an area that has ESSEC has dealt with somewhat in the blocking through the use of DNS, so in a somewhat different sense, but in a related sense. So it's something that we'll certainly think about as we put the third report together. Thank you.
Julie?
This is Julie Headland. Another question from the chat room. This one also is from Tariq. It says, the ESSEC asked in an earlier report that the trademark clearinghouse should have better access to internationalized names. Has this been done? What does the ESSEC do to ensure accountability for important recommendations like these?
What we recommended was that the trademark clearinghouse and the work that is done on variants in internationalized domain names in the ICANN context should use the same algorithms and rules for example, matching and calculation of variance. Our finding was that at the moment, Trademark Clearinghouse have sort of invented their own transliteration of internationalized domain names before matching is taking place, and they have special matching algorithms. We saw that being a risk, and our recommendation was that there should be some harmonization between the two, just to make clear what the recommendation was. What we are doing is that we are following up. We have a tracker that everyone can see on the ICANN webpage, where the board is tracking all advice and recommendations from specifically ESSEC and ALAC. For this specific recommendation, we do have communication with the people in the Trademark Clearinghouse, the people working with Trademark Clearinghouse, and for this specific item, we're asking for a report at approximately every ICANN meeting. So about three times a year, we are asking for a status. This item is not resolved yet, and the way we do in ESSEC is that if it is the case that we feel that it has sort of taken too long time, whatever that means, and we still think that the recommendation is important, then we write a follow-up document that might be a slightly different recommendation, just because there might be some must be some reasons why the first recommendation was not sort of resolved or acted upon. Maybe we wrote it sloppy, maybe we wrote the wrong thing. So the methods we have is to write a new document. Thank you. Anything else? If there isn't anything else, I would like to give back 10 minutes of your life, and we all can have coffee before the next meeting. So thank you very much for coming, and I call the meeting adjourned.